can't tolerate that selfishness anymore. That's that born-again man that's born in the nature of God, being taught by the Holy Spirit, starting to come forth and manifest. The thicker that shell is, that earthen vessel, the thicker it is, the duller it is, the less the born-again spirit gets to show its hand. Well, so we pray ourselves to a place that this born-again man gets to come forth out of this earthen vessel. I mean, this, he calls it a treasure in this earthen vessel. A treasure, something that was so precious, more precious than a pearl in a field, more precious than gold or silver. He called this treasure in this earthen vessel something so important that he said, I'm going to send my only son. And he's going to die a horrible death. But when he dies this horrible death, Satan will find nothing in him, therefore warranting salvation to all of mankind. And not only that, and he's going to rise again. Come back and sit down in my right hand. That's how important this treasure, this earthen vessel is. Yeah, we keep it here. Simple example. Can somebody tell you're saved without you telling them? There's been times in my life I don't think they could. I'd like to think that maybe we're gaining a little ground in that area, starting to shed a little light out from under this basket, out from under this earthen vessel. But I know that unless that shell gets thinner, I know that unless it's broken down, this earthen vessel, that the treasure in it will stay locked up and never be shown. But the more that it's broken down, the thinner that it gets, the more that this treasure in there is obvious, this earthen vessel. And so whenever we pray ourselves or fast and pray and worship God and meditate the Word to a point that that begins to show up in that earthen vessel, then it'll show up in these areas like I can't live with not doing anything anymore in the church. I used to could go, sit still. Now I have a decision to make. I either have to get involved in some facet of what God's doing in this body, or I have to go away saying something's wrong here. Well, it was. That was wrong just left. Please let me amuse myself in my own. Joking, sarcasm. Just a little bit. I'll try to keep it to a minimum. Well, I'm not going to fall. Anyhow, so I come to that point then of deciding, am I going to allow Him to continue to work and gain and strengthen my life, or am I going to change my circumstances, move to another church, move to another city, move to another state, move to another country. There's been people done that. I get away from my dad. I'll move to Peru. Something like that. I get to make a decision because I brought myself to a place that born-again man, that treasure in that earthen vessel begins to get to show up. Now I have to make a decision. Do I want it to show up more? Do I have to cause this vessel to get thinner? Break down the exterior more so that He can shine forth and bring forth those things that the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring forth through this born-again spirit. Well, that's why you pray yourself to this place and fast and worship yourself to this place. And then we stop and we say, okay, God, it's like you done something Now he has to do something else. Not. He doesn't. He doesn't have to do anything but his word. So, we come to this place, and now we think that we brought ourselves to that place, and actually we didn't. We just yielded over to fasting. We just yielded over to prayer. We just yielded over and surrendered in worship. That's all we've done. It's the Holy Spirit's job. He was sent here to bring us into the full manifestation of our inheritance, which is that born-again spirit starting to come forth. And so it's His job to bring us to that place, and He'll usher us in and bring us to that place. And we think that we did it with our fasting, with our prayer. No, we just yielded under principles, the Word of God that causes results. Results of what? Bringing that born-again spirit forth. Whenever you fast, whenever you pray, whenever you worship God, whenever you meditate the Word, how else are you going to know what God's like or what He's saying if you don't meditate the Word of God? You may think it's God saying this and it doesn't even say that in His Word. And guess what? You're messed up. So all of these things then that we've mentioned then began to bring us to this place because we applied them in our life, causing or allowing the Holy Spirit then to bring us to this place. He brought us to this place, and we think that we brought ourselves to this place, and now it's God's job when actually God brought us to this place, and now it's our decision on what we're going to do about it. Have I taken that slow enough for you to understand what's happening in your life? I know that if He's dealing with me, showing me over and over and over why fasting doesn't work for some, why prayer doesn't work for some, why worship doesn't work for some, there's some people in there that need to know that. Know that. It doesn't just do that for the fun of it. So we bring ourselves to that place because of turning ourselves over to Him, to His ways, His doctrine, His Word. We turn ourselves over to that. It brings us to a place then that now that born-again spirit, that treasure in that earthen vessel gets to begin to come forth. Well, 11 years ago, that's what began to happen to me. You know, and He would begin to show me these things. He said, if you'll correct these things now, He said, you'll never get up above them. You'll never get above everything. I mean, my life looked like, you know, I'd been praying for a long time, but my life looked like, you know, to me, of course, He was bringing me to that place that my life looked ugly, you know, and almost overwhelming at times. But He brought me there so I could see it. You start seeing it. You're going to do one of two things if you start seeing how your life is so ugly. You're either going to turn hightail and run, or you're going to do something about it. Find out what you can do about it. Well, He began to show me these things. Debt was one of them. And then things that I knew that I had a call on my life and that, you know, even though nobody knew me at that time, I was already starting to flow a little bit, but nobody knew me at that time. He said, I want you to take care of these things right now so there'll be nothing down the road that He can get a hold of. And of course, if you're overcome, if you're, you know, if you're up to your eyeballs and looking out over a surface of a messed up life, dead or whatever, that you can't serve God to the capacity that you know His desire is, if you're at that point, then you're wondering, well, how do I ever get above this? How do I ever overcome this? Well, you'll never overcome it if you keep doing what you've been doing that caused that to begin with, because just as soon as you get one fire put out or one round taken care of, here will come another one, because you're still doing things the way you've done them. So something has to change. I'll pray. Sure you will. You'll pray yourself right back to that same place of changing things. Let me tell you something. If He's bringing something up to you over and over, it comes before you. You need to stop and consider changing. Oh, well, he just brought it up. It's my thought. No, you need to stop and check. You selfish outfit. So he'll bring you to this place. Then our problem is we expect God to just automatically, change it. Okay, God, I brought myself to this place. Now you change it. Well, he can't do anything contrary to his word. And so he said to us, this treasure in earthen vessels in verse 7, but the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. We kind of mentioned, that there's that power there that may not be of God. Well, if it's not of God, well, that's the devil. Yes, to an extent. Well, what he's dividing there, he's dividing a soul operation. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Did he say devil? That's another message. Like I said, I'm just dropping you something. That this power may not be of us. He didn't say Satan. He didn't say the devil. He didn't say a demon. That this power may be of God and not of us. Can tell you right now, early on in my walk, he was trying to get across to me that there was a power of the soul that you could operate out of. And it could be so deceived that you would think you were operating. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure can't be seen because this earthen vessel is so thick and so dense. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also may be manifested in our body. And boy, it took me a long time to ever understand that. Boy, that was a tough one for me. Always caring about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Make me want to, go out and puncture my wrist or my hand, I can see where stupid doctors comes up and causes people to mutilate and stuff like that, taking verses out of context. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the life, because you carried about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Well, how's that life manifested in our body? Once again, he's talking about a treasure in this earthen vessel. It's your born-again spirit that's going to cause people to understand and know and catch on that maybe there's something different about you. It's your born-again spirit that's going to cause the light to come off and say, this person is different. Where is this glow coming from? Why do they do things differently? Why do they go and take a job and not tell somebody they're going to Peru, but rather set the example? Set the example. And then when they've set the example, then get permission to go to Peru, and having gained all of the favor because they They took a different route than what the world is. Well, that's that born-again man coming forth, standing out, starting to stand up in its rightful place. Because of this caring about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning this, that through prayer, fasting, worship, meditating the Word, changing those priorities in your life and those things that you began to recognize that He's pointing out to you that are wrong, you begin to change them. Caring about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting to death these things of the flesh and of the soul, turning them toward God, that in the result then, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ be exhibited because you put to death those things. Says to put away all lying. That's one of the first things He'll begin to convict you of. Because in Him there is no lie. He can't be a part of any lie. It's almost like you think you're saved, but you spend your life lying. Hey, He may not even be present. That's a hard statement. I know it is. You need to think about what He's saying. It's important for us to put away all lying. Because in Him there's no lie, and we say that we're in Him, He's in us, but yet in Him there is no lie. Well, it's a transformation of the soul that puts away the lie. That born-again man starts coming forth, and you get to wanting to do things like quit lying. Starting to have your life a way of giving. Giving as a way of life, I'm sorry. Things like that. You began to look at all of a sudden in a different light. Now what's happening is you're beginning to see things in the light in the eyes that God sees them. Not as you see them any longer, but as He sees them. He won't change it for you. You'll have to see it. He's shown you the light. He's shown you the truth. Here's the truth. Don't lie. Don't deceive. Don't gossip. Don't hurt other people with your mouth. You start seeing that. Born again spirit starting to come forth. You start to see that. He showed that to you. He illuminated that to you for you to do something about it. Well, God will do it. No, He brought it before you. For you to do something about it. See, He created your own will. But along with it, He caused the power at the cross through the dying in the body for you to have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ exhibited because you decided to put to death that thing of lying, deceitfulness, control, controlling others, manipulation, intimidation, jealousy, envy. All of a sudden it's illuminated. You get to decide. You get to decide whether the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be exhibited in you or not. You get to decide. You bring yourself to a place of prayer and fasting. You come to this spot. Now, what are you going to do about it? You come to this spot where you're illuminated. All of a sudden, you realize that you're not going to be able to serve God to the capacity that you were able to serve Him because you gave yourself out to bondage of death. Bad money management. Bad decisions in general. And so He illuminates it, brings you to that place. Now, you have to decide, am I going to do something about this and do this different and make different decisions regardless of my flesh or my soul, or am I going to continue on where it can continue to pile layer upon layer for me to get through it? Pretty soon, I'm not just not seeing above it with my eyeballs. You can't even see the top of my head. Think about it. I love saying that. Think about it. That means really concentrate on what I'm saying right now. But we wait for Him to do it when we're the ones to decide. It's almost like this. Except it's not, but it's almost like this. You pray and you fast for nothing. Doesn't cause any change. Why? Because you met some things. You decided to live with them and not face truth. Decided not to change them. The fasting and the prayer was for something. Because applying that brought you to the place that He could expose that to you, illuminate it to you. He just didn't do it for you. You had to decide whether to do it. So it did do something for you, but it almost appears like, well, I seen them fast and fast and fast, and there wasn't no change. I know because I've said it. I've wondered, God, there's got to be something. I know Your Word works. It worked for me. It worked for others. I know Your Word works. What is wrong here? I'd ask Him that. Pray, 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 pray. I see others as I was coming along praying and praying, probably at times praying more even than I was, but yet, no result. Why? Why, God? Go to my pastor. Why? Well, one of the first things was, he'd say, well, you have to understand. Then the other thing God had to show me and reveal to me much more was that they come to this place and these things were thrown out there and illuminated and expecting God to just move up on them like dividing the Red Sea and that all go away when He says, you put to death by the Spirit the deeds of your body. And because you carry that about, carry what about? Everything that Jesus done in the wilderness on that fast. Everything that Jesus done at the cross, taking on your poverty, giving back the riches of heaven. Because you carry that about in your body, because you put that into action in your life, then the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is exemplified through you. Because His death, what He died for, is working in you, causing life. Why do I want to fast? Because you're too heavy. That's my reason, not me. That's just a side benefit. Why do I want to fast? It's about as most spiritual thing as you could think of. I know people don't want to look at it that way, but the results are spiritual. Not to mention the soul. And like we said, the flesh, you know, getting your body under control. You can be a slender, skinny person, and your body still be out of control. I've had people to come to me, I don't know whether I can fast or not because I'm so thin to begin with. I had some at the prayer center, I'd say, well, I don't know, Shelley fasts for 40 days, you know. She's not that heavy, you know, what's your problem? You looking for justification or what? Not the fact. It's a known medical fact that some skinny people have more clogged arteries than the heavy people do. Why? Because it doesn't matter. It knows no boundaries. Whether you're heavy, whether you're skinny, I mean, it grabs it, clogs them arteries up. It doesn't make any difference. That's all a side benefit. It will cause your health to spring forth, like the Word says. I feel a lot better coming off of the fast than I did when I went into the fast. But it's a spiritual thing, and He'll bring you to that place through that fast. He'll bring you to that place and show you, this is what it is. Here's some things, this round. And you say, well, okay, I got those taken care of. I guess I won't ever have to again, huh? Not. Remember, He said, carrying about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ may be exhibited through it. Don't expect to stop until He returns, or you go to heaven and into heaven. You don't want to go backwards, do you? You go forward and then you stop doing something, you really go backwards. You don't stay in one spot. So He brings you to this place through fasting, and we get to make a decision. Here's some things laid out here. What am I going to do? 11 years ago, I decided, I'm going to clean these things up right now. I don't want to get down the road, and all of a sudden, the enemy has something to get a hold of me with. And I know that this round, being up here the last 14 months, I know that some of those things could have came back, because I know people that were being used by the enemy to look for them. Marge, you sure got a big grin over there on your face. Almost like she has an understanding over there. She does. He's looking for more and more people to use. He would like to use you. He wants to use you. We're not talking about just a little trickle. He wants to use you a lot. The quicker that you make decisions that are right according to how He looks with His eyes, the quicker that He can use you and pour out the anointing on you. But you have to make decisions. You have to put those things to death. He gave you the power, the potential, and every principle to put them to death. But you have to do it. You have to take what's been given, that authority in His Word. Okay, I'll scream at him with my authority. No. You'll continue fasting till you surrender that thing. You'll continue praying until the Spirit of God brings your spirit man forth. You'll continue worshiping God hours upon hours till you're in total surrender. That's exercising your authority. Agreeing with God's Word. I thank my God that you saved. That's exercising. It's not getting in an airplane and going high above Tulsa and bringing down the principality. True story. Stand with me if you could for just a moment here. Get his mind on what direction you can take it. So what are you going to do? You're going to just every time fast, pray to that place that you see it, it comes up before you. I tell you what will happen. If you don't take action, your heart will start to be hardened toward that particular area and thing. It'll get harder and harder to get you off of it and away from it, thereby being neutralized by that thing that he was bringing up early on, trying to get you ready for something big later on down the road. See, we think, okay, He's just going to fall one day and there's going to be a big move in my life. No, there's a preparation time. You know, and I've seen Bible teachers take that out of context. Well, it's a preparation time. You've got to study a lot of the Word of God. How about some death? Because it says that caring about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ in your body causes the life of Christ to come forth. How about that? Mr. Dry Teacher. Marge will think I'm digging a hole. I'd like to give Marge a hard time. Good friend. We have to do it. We decide. He gave us everything that we have to decide. We have to do it. If we don't, we'll keep coming back to that place. He'll bring you back to that place over and over. But if your heart starts to become hardened, then you'll start accepting it that this may be. There's room in the Word of God for it to be okay. Not. That's why actually a person can give themselves over to perversion and perversion and perversion for an entire lifetime. It's not that they lose their salvation because God takes it away from them. His grace and His mercy endureth forever. But what if you can't get back to Him? What if you're so neutralized and powerless because you didn't face any of it, that you can't get back to your God. What then? Young adults, teenagers, giving themselves over to witchcraft, perversion, immorality, things like that. One thing after another happens, one round after another. Pretty soon they're trying to figure out, is there a way back to God? The enemy tries to convince there is no way. You went too far, when actually there was a way. He was still there, but they did almost go too far to get themselves back. Then it takes somebody strong to intervene with the power of God and get them back, and try to get them back in enough tune to this that they realize, oh yeah, there's still hope, there's still room, I can still get back to my God. That's why you got to have the anointing on your life. You want to help somebody? You want to love them? You want to help somebody? You want to be of help to somebody? Start dying. Start changing the way you handle things in the past. Start changing decisions in the past. Start changing priorities in the past. You want to help somebody? Start operating in tough love instead of pat on the head. It's okay for you to stay the same the rest of your life. Go on down to that other church. They'll accept you there. You can write out your tithe check. Nobody will bother you. Nobody will put the pressure on you to serve God or do anything for God. Go down there and do that. Instead of doing that, they'll say, tough it out. You need to change anyhow. So what if he's hard? Tough it out.